Welcome to Diverse City Church Sermons. We hope that you enjoy this week's message by Pastor Ray.
I pray it'll be like the prophet said, a fire shut up in our bones, where we can't sit still, we cannot be contained, we're eager and excited. Father, I'm praying the spirit of hopelessness and depression, anxiety and fear and worry and anything else that has gripped a hold of us in 18 is going to be loosed in 19. Have your way today. Get me out of the way and allow your name to be glorified and your will to be done and for you to have center stage. Get me out of the way, Lord. It's not about Ray. It's all about you. And we pray your will to go forth, your anointing to be upon me and use me today, not because of anything that I've done, because I'm unworthy and undeserving, Lord, but because your people need a word. And because of your fabulous grace, I pray that you will allow your anointing to be upon me, that I will preach your word with power and authority, with relevance, Lord, that it'll be applicable and practical and relevant and life-changing, that we will enter next year ready, Lord. In Jesus' name, and we, the people of God, give the Lord a loud amen. So let it be. God, have your way. You may be seated. Before we jump into our message today, I just want to say a couple things. Number one, tomorrow is our New Year's Eve party, and it is a potluck, not a good luck. And for those of y'all that are new to the church, I'm going to explain what that means. A good luck means that good luck getting some good food, because folks are stingy and don't bring a whole lot. But a potluck is where you go and cook your best dish, and then you say, well, I'm going to cook some more, and you cook another dish, and you bring the best dishes you got. You ain't cheap. You ain't lazy. You don't go bring some chips. You don't just go pick up your little salad tray, and it's doing some work. So everybody say potluck. It's a potluck, not a good luck. I want to eat tomorrow. Don't you let me be the only one that brings a good dish, because I'm going to talk about you. We labeling every dish when you come through the door. We put labels on everything. So if you got a bad dish, your name's going to be on it, on the table. Amen. All right. Got that out the way. Secondly, we've got a New Year's filter. You can see it directly behind me right there. No, all right, I lied. There it is. This is our New Year's filter, and that is on Facebook. We'd love for you to go and use that. For those of you that are a little bit technically challenged, just go to Facebook, Diverse City, and then you'll see that post, and at the bottom it says try. And you hit that try button, and then you just put whatever picture you want in. It's pretty easy. And then after you try it, now just give it a couple seconds, because my wife thought that she tried it, but then it didn't work as quick as she wanted, so she tried it again, and she tried it again, and she tried it again. Next thing you know, she had about 8 different pictures on her timeline. And I said, baby, you just got to wait. It's got to go up, come down, go around town, and back again, and then it works. So just give it a minute. Last but not least, I am very excited and honored that I will be going to Rwanda in January. There was a couple pastors here of about a month and a half ago, And I really believe that God's going to do a great work with us and them in Rwanda, and I'll share more in the future. But just very quickly, if you haven't seen the movie Hotel Rwanda, go watch it. That is a small portion of the big genocide and epidemic that took place in Rwanda in 1994. In 90 short days, over 1 million people were killed. The Hutus received the presidency. Their president was a Hutu, and he was killed. And after he was killed, they said that it was the Tutsis who killed him, which are the two tribes there. And then the Hutus retaliated because they thought that they killed their president was killed by the Tutsis, and the Hutus killed over 1 million Tutsis in 90 days. In the country of Rwanda, it made world news, and lots of world leaders and governments and militaries came to aid and began to help bring reconciliation and revival. And Rwanda now has the best health care in all of Africa, and it's a very clean country, and revival is taking place. The president there now is a Christian, and it's exciting what's happening in Rwanda. But right next door is the Congo, and in the Congo, all of the Hutus that believed in genocide, the genociders, they fled to the Congo in 1994. And then from 96 until today, they have been still killing, doing the same thing that happened in Rwanda. But because it's smaller or on a smaller scale, it hasn't yet made international news. Now, smaller scale means not 1 million in 90 days. But let me tell you how many have been killed. 6 million people in 22 years have been killed to genocide alone. 6 million people. The Congo is the poorest country in the entire world. One of our dollars equals like 18,000 of theirs. It's unbelievable. And I'll be flying into the Congo, into Rwanda, and then traveling into the Congo. And we're going to be going back there probably around August is the plan. We're going to give you more information later. But I just say that to say that we believe in giving. And I am so thankful to be a part of a church that is small, but we give away a lot. Just this year, we gave away nearly 200 book bags full of school supplies, 150 turkeys to people in need, energy assistance, rental assistance. We had an Easter program outside. It was a carnival, our Easter carnival, that cost us probably $5,000 or $6,000. We then had our trunk or treat that cost us about $3,000, not to mention the thousands that people donated in candy, in costumes, their cars, decorations. I could tell you about so many more events that we've done here. That's just to quickly name a few. We honor volunteers of the month, volunteers of the year, leaders of the year. And really, we believe in giving because God's called us to give. That's why we always say, if you're new here, don't give, because we want you to know that our culture is giving. So we're asking for people to give $50,000 towards G19 because we want to keep being able to bless the community and the schools. And you know, sometimes because we do not keep as much, we don't get as much stuff done as far as technology and staging. But you know what? God always provides and makes a way, because when you give, God always gives a return. So we're going to be going to Rwanda. I'm going first. Hopefully I'll make it back alive and tell you it was safe, and then you guys can go with me. So I feel like as the pastor, I need to go first and make sure that everyone's going to come back in one piece. So pray for me. That'll be in January. Just a short trip there and back. So very excited for that. If y'all could just be in prayer about our trip and our partnership with Rwanda and the country of Congo. All right, let's jump right in. So excited to close out this year with a message called Forget and Reach. Okay, let me say that again to you. It's called Forget and Reach. We, the body of Christ, need to forget and reach. There was a man who moved into a retirement community to spend the rest of his life. He was an older gentleman, and it wasn't long until he had a number of friends among the other residents there in this retirement community. There was one lady in particular, though, that he was especially attracted to. And every day, this older man would wake up and be very eager to get downstairs so he could see this fine little older lady. Good news was, she was also attracted to him. That's always a good sign. So they spent a lot of time together, sitting around, eating, sitting in the cafeteria, talking, telling old stories about their family and their children. Finally, one evening, after months of spending time together in this assisted living facility, he finally said, you know what, I really like her. I think I'm going to marry her. And he went to her and he said, "Baby, I'd like to propose to you." And he asked if she would marry him, and she indeed said yes. The next morning he woke up remembering his proposal, but he couldn't remember what she said. So he went to her and he said, "I'm really embarrassed to say this, but I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no." And she said, "Oh, thank God." She said, "Because I remembered saying yes, but I couldn't remember who it was." Sometimes we forget things that maybe we shouldn't forget. But sometimes we remember things that we need to let go. Everybody hear me? Isn't it funny how we always remember the bad, but it's so easy to forget the good? In Philippians chapter 3, it says in verse 13 and 14, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." Real quick, this word apprehended means to have arrived, to understand. I don't count myself to have the perfect perspective or have it all figured out. I don't understand much of anything. I don't really count myself to understand. But there is one thing that I do understand. And the Apostle Paul says, the thing that I understand is not Jesus and him crucified. He says, the thing that I understand is that I need to forget those things that are behind me. And I need to reach, everybody say reach, forward to those things that are ahead of me. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to see for just a few minutes here today the importance of us both forgetting and reaching. You cannot reach but remember. It says that we need to forget and reach. Not hold on and sit still, but reach. Not reach, but hold back and remember, but forget. The Apostle Paul says, "I don't count myself to know it all. I really don't know a whole lot, but there's one thing that I do know. If I want next year to be successful, I need to forget some things that have happened, and I need to reach for some things that haven't." So the first thing I want you to see is forget. If you want to have a successful 2019, you need to forget. Everybody say forget. This is important. You need to forget. We need to forget some things. Now, real quick, some of y'all say, "Well, I don't know, Pastor, can you ever forget? I was told all my life, forgive and forget. But I know you can forgive, but I don't know if you can really forget." But the Apostle Paul said, "I need to forget those things that are behind me and move forward and reach those things that are ahead of me." And I've taught this before, but I want to just say it again in case you forgot, is that there is the ability to forget and move on. But I thought once it happened, it's always there and I'll always remember it. You may remember it, but you can forget it. Well, hold on, that don't even make sense. How do I remember it but forget it? You know that it happened. Don't be dumb and act like it never happened, but it did. But you don't live as if it did happen. You live as if you forgot it. If you tell someone, "I forgive you," now you have an obligation to treat them as if they are forgiven. If 5 years goes by and the reality is the thought is still in your head, that's okay, because we cannot remove thoughts, but we can bring thoughts captive. What that means is you lock the thought up. "I want to go off on them because I remember what they did to me in 2013. I want to hold them accountable for what they did in 2018. But if you truly forget, you're going to remember it here, but treat them from here as if you forgot. Does that make sense? But for some reason, we as people have a real hard time between what happens here and what happens here, the head and the heart. It's one thing for it to come to your head. It's another thing to let it spew out of your heart, which means your mouth, and you begin to treat them in ways you shouldn't because you just can't get over it. In Philippians chapter 3 and 13, reading again, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." I don't think I know it all. I don't think I understand. But if there's one thing that I do understand, this is what it is: forgetting those things which are behind. Look, guys, we need to forget some things that are behind us. The enemy wants you to be bombarded the rest of your life by your childhood trauma, your first marriage betrayal, the person who lied and called you ugly and fat and worthless and dumb and stupid. The enemy wants you to never forget that, and for it not to just be in your head but be in your heart, and you live your whole life through that. There's no way in the world that we should be 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years old, and when people give us constructive criticism, we take it as negative because of what happened when we were 8 years old. See, because the enemy doesn't want you to get free from that. He wants you to remember it and remember it so fresh like an open wound. And every time those triggers pop and every time those things come back, you relive it like it happened yesterday and it was 30 years ago. The enemy never wants you to forget. He wants you to take the head knowledge, the heart knowledge, and you live it the rest of your life. God forbid we're grown adults still allowing trauma from 10 and 20 and 30 years ago rule and reign our life. We need to work through it. Yes, it's real. It's real. But we need to identify it and say, God, you've got to have more for me. I don't want to be living through the perception of my trauma 40 years later. When are we going to figure out a way to learn like the Apostle Paul, where he says, I do not count myself to know it all, but one thing I do, I'm not going to be healthy unless I forget those things which are behind me. We need to forget some stuff, guys. Now, look, I can tell you that you need to forget some things from the 80s, the 70s, the 60s. Some of y'all need to forget some stuff from the 90s, 2000. But can I just tell you that some of y'all need to forget some stuff that happened last week in 2018. We need to forget some stuff and move on. Oh, but Pastor, it's been in my family for years. We're just the kind of people that holds on to stuff and we die with it. If you want to be miserable and never move on, then you just keep doing what your family's always done. But I want you to know that if you want a different family, then you can have that, and that's the family of God. And you no longer need to claim that garbage over your life and say, oh, my mom, she always held on to stuff. Oh, her and my dad were at wits against each other for 35 years. They lived in separate beds. My cousins didn't talk. This one and this one didn't talk. This is just what we do. We just blah, 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 blah. If you want to talk like that, don't be surprised if 19 is equally as bad as 18. But when you say, God, I don't want to be like my mother. I want to be like you. I don't want to be like my dad, my auntie, my granny. I don't want to have constant resentment and frustration. Lord, I want more for my life. God, your word says that the blood of Jesus has engrafted me into your family, and I'm adopted, and now I'm an heir of Christ, and I have the same privileges as you have. Jesus, I need your character because I'm tired of remembering all of the garbage in my life, and I want free from it, Lord. That's why he says in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, because we don't need our mama's mind. We don't need to keep our granny's mind. We don't need to have third, fourth, and fifth generational garbage minds. We can be set freed and renewed and revived by the power of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, Pastor. That's good stuff. I ain't gave one point yet, just to let you know. I ain't even gave a point. I'm just laying the groundwork. I got like 15 of them. I figured, you know what? This is the last sermon I get to preach this year. I'm going all in. I said, Lord, I'm going all in. We going missionary, Baptist, apostolic, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost filled, and we're going to preach all day long. Y'all going to go to Subway and come back, and I'm going to still be preaching. All right, let's go. Here we go. Point number one. Y'all ready? Yeah. If you want 2018 to be 19 to be successful, you need to forget your failings of 2018. If you want 2019 to be successful, you need to forget your failings of 2018. The enemy wants us to focus on the negative. Therefore, he will continuously, constantly, habitually, day in and day out with all that he has in him to replay your and my mistakes. Over and over. We must remember that failing doesn't make us a failure. Quitting does. How many of y'all failed this year? Raise your hand and be honest. If you failed in 2018, raise your hand. Look at all of us failed people all over this sanctuary. We failed. It's all good. I have failed. My wife has failed. We have failed miserably so many times. But let me tell you the difference between failing and a failure. A failure stays down. Someone who fails gets back up. The greatest and most successful people continued to stand back up and did not allow them falling to keep them down. We need to understand and remember failing does not mean failure. Falling short does not mean that you're dumb and stupid. It means get up and try again. Some of the most phenomenal people that you will ever meet, names that we know that have spread across this world for completely changing our world. Inventors. Pioneers, activists, they failed. They were told no. They tried again, and they failed, and they were told no. And then guess what? They tried again and again and again hundreds of times. But every time, guess what they did? They got back up. They would not take no for an answer. But the enemy has made American Christians cowards. We try three times, we fail the exam three times, and we say, oh, well, I guess that wasn't what God had for me. If you believe that God told you that you were to do it, and you tried four times and you haven't, guess what? Try again. Try again. Try again. Don't say, oh, well, I guess that wasn't the will of God. Why? Because you failed three times? We must leave our mistakes in 2018. I got a question for you. Will your mistakes make you quit? I hope not. Will your mistakes, your failings of 2018 make you quit or just call it an end in 2019? I hope not. I hope those things you tried for and did not do in 2018, you're going to try again in 2019. And I hope this is going to be your year to achieve it. But even if you don't, there's always 2020. The Bible says that the Lord's mercy, his compassion is new every single morning. That means if you fail and mess it up miserably today, just wake up tomorrow morning and try it again. You will encounter the grace and compassion of God all over again. But the enemy wants you to think if you fail today that there's no hope for tomorrow, but that's not true at all because great is his faithfulness. He's so good. Proverbs chapter 24 and 16 says, a righteous man may fall seven times, but the difference is he rises again. What makes you righteous is not you walking upright and holy and being snobbish and pointing fingers at everyone that sin is more exposed than yours. Righteousness is knowing that God's grace is amazing and identifying your failures through conviction and standing up when you fall and trying again because you know great is His faithfulness. If you want 19 to be successful, you need to forget your failures of 2018. The second thing I want you to see is you need to forget your feelings. This one's hard. This is real hard because we live in a culture today where you have to be politically correct. If you hurt someone's feelings or say something that is based off your opinion or values or what you seem to be right, then immediately it is dismissed and people are angry and upset and now their feelings are heated and so on and so forth. And people often ask me, are you a Democrat or a Republican? And the answer is, I'm neither. And they say, well, who's the problem? And honestly, it's both. Who's more the problem? Do you know who the problem is? The radical Democrats and the radical Republicans. If people could just realize there are good Democrats and there are good Republicans. There are good white people, good black people, good rich people, good poor people. There's good people and there's crazy ones in all parties. Why do I say that? I say that because sometimes we filter things incorrectly and we allow feelings to lead us rather than truth. See, when we make decisions, we cannot make them off of feelings. We cannot make decisions off how we feel, people who look like us, people who we were told are our road dogs or we die with, we hang with, we kick it with. We need to make decisions based off the truth, not feelings. Feelings actually are dangerous. Making decisions based off the way you feel, that's scary. Feelings are good, right? Be ye angry and sinneth not. Anger is okay. Out of anger, you had people like Dr. Martin Luther King. Out of anger, you had people like Martin Luther. Out of anger, you had people who would stand up against the injustices of our culture and community and country and bring forth change. Anger, used correctly, is okay. But it's not the anger, it's the truth to be able to take a step back, disassociate and connect from the anger. Begin to make some notes, take some journal, to make some journal entries to figure out why you feel the way you feel, and then you make an educated decision based off fact and truth and not emotion, and then you respond off of that rather than react out of anger. See, when you make a decision quick out of how you feel, it's dangerous. Our feelings will often lead us down the wrong path. I can tell you about men and women alike who had great feelings about someone. And I can say, where'd it get you? I can tell you about people who had the feeling to leave a job only to find out they wouldn't get a new one for 3 months and they lost their apartment or home. I could tell you people who had feelings about a church and they left it only to come back or just stay home and never get reconnected again. See, because if we're not careful, the enemy will always try to make us make a rash decision in the moment, in our feelings, and then we pay for it the rest of our life. See, your feelings will often lead you down the wrong road. You got to take your feelings. You need to step back from your feelings, evaluate your feelings, process it, talk to somebody, and then make decisions based off of all of it and not just how you feel. We must forgive every person who hurt our feelings. Oh, man, it got quiet. Did you hear? Everybody was in. Yeah, amen, Pastor, amen. And we got to forget people who hurt our feelings. Hey. Honestly, did y'all feel it? It wasn't just me, right? All right. If you didn't feel it, you want to know why? Because you was one of the ones who went, hush. Let me say it again. And look, if just say amen this time. We must forget every person who have hurt our feelings. That's what I'm talking about. We cannot hold grudges. Got two people. We cannot hold grudges. All right, there we go. Well, look, all the hurts from 2018 is going to ruin you if you don't get rid of them before 2019. We must forgive and try to forget. And I don't mean forget as if it leaves your memory. I mean forget as if it leaves your heart. And you no longer treat those people ugly because they treated you ugly. But you say, I am going to be released and freed from resentment and unforgiveness and bitterness that you have done towards me and now I have towards you. I'm not going to allow the remembrance in my mind to sit in my heart that in next year, I'm the same way as I was last year because I'm not going to be held captive anymore by what you did to me. The only person who suffers when we don't forgive is us. So here's a question. Don't answer it quickly. Can you get beyond the person that hurt you this year? Can you get beyond the people who have hurt you this year? Can you get beyond the party that hurt you this year? Can you get beyond some of those stupid people who post the most ignorant things on Facebook this year? Can you get beyond some of those tweets? Can you get beyond some of those comments? Can you get beyond whatever it is that has been rubbing you all year long? Or are you going to take that in the next year? We need to get beyond it. Please don't allow your failings to interrupt your future. And please don't allow your feelings to interrupt your future. I understand that you were hurt and things were out of whack in 2018, but can I tell you that God's got a plan that's different in 2019, and you can't allow the way you feel today lead you tomorrow. God is not asking us anywhere in the Bible to live a life based off feelings. People often say, well, why'd you do that? Well, I just kind of felt led. You felt led to. Think about that. We say, spiritual people say that all the time. I felt led to. Well, that's kind of scary. You felt led to, being that we aren't to be led by our feelings. Right? You know, the Lord kind of put it in my spirit. I felt led to. Or other ones, it's like, I feel my heart telling me to help you. And then 3 months later, they take everything from you. Oh, you thought you helped, told you, didn't it? Right? It should be more, it shouldn't be feeling. It should be, you know what I thought about it. I've been driving past this guy for the last 6 weeks. He's been asking me for X, Y, and Z, but I continue to not help him because I didn't want to be a bad steward of my money. Now, I had a little bit of guilt, but that's feeling. I kind of felt I needed to help, but that was feeling. So logically, I said, no, I'm not going to give quickly because I want to make sure that I'm doing a logical thing and rational thing and not giving because I feel guilty. So for 6 weeks, I never gave, but I kept seeing them. And I saw them persistent. I saw some changes. They begin to interact with me and me with them. And then finally, I decided that I wanted to help them and I let them live in my basement for 6 months. Why'd you do that? Not because I felt led to, but because I patiently waited, I evaluated the situation, and I made a logical, rational answer. You see the difference? But here's what we do in our world. Oh, I just felt it was the right thing to do. Feelings are dangerous. And if you're not careful, your feelings will cause you to do dumb things or cause you to not do what you need to do. Look at Mark chapter 10. It says, the Son of Man in verse 33 will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him, they will scourge him and spit on him, and then they will kill him. Let me tell you what, if anybody is going to deliver me to someone, and then mock me, and then scourge me, and then spit on me, and then want to kill me, I am not going to have a feeling in me that's going to want to continue to serve them. But Jesus, in spite of what was happening and what he could have allowed the happenings to develop in him, he stayed true to who he was. Can I tell you that even though things happened to you this year, and I'm sorry it did, some of you felt like you've been scourged or spit on or ridiculed or mocked or criticized and that people would rather you be dead. But if Jesus had the ability to not allow those circumstances to stop him and he kept moving forward, can I challenge you to not allow the hurt of 18 to inhibit the blessings of 19? Don't let people, don't let situations, and definitely don't let bad feelings get in your way that you don't continue to be the person God has called you to be. How many of us could honestly admit, and you don't have, I don't want you to raise your hand, all right, don't need to do that, that's cool, but honestly could admit that sometimes your feelings get so hurt by someone that you don't even want to do what's right anymore. Right? You know what I mean? You don't even want to do what's right anymore to them. Sometimes, look, I'm going to put myself on blast. Sometimes my wife irritates me so bad and I know she's wrong and I know I'm right. Sometimes I end up really being wrong. But just say this time I'm really right. And she's really wrong. She makes me so mad that I know I need to go and do the right thing, but I don't want to. Anybody able to relate to that? You so in your feelings. You're like, somebody's like, just go say sorry. I ain't saying sorry. Just go do this. I don't want to. Just right? And we can't do that. We have to figure out a way to get beyond that. And we say, God, I'm hurt. I feel betrayed. I feel victimized. I feel misunderstood. I feel unappreciated. I feel undervalued. I feel abandoned. I feel mistreated. I feel they mocked and scourged and spit on me, and they will care less how I feel. But in spite of that, God, help me to do the right thing, because I don't want to be led by my feelings. If you want 19 to be successful, you need to forget about your failings. You need to forget about your feelings. And next, you need to forget about your fears. I don't know what it is that has scared you and has kept you from doing the things that God wants you to do, but it is time for us to rise up and stop allowing fears to get in the way of what God wants us to do. Look, you can't allow fear to stop you. One of the leading causes of an individual not accomplishing his or her dreams is fear. Many times a person will say no to a challenge due to fear. Have you become insecure about something? Has the fear of the unknown hindered you? Have maybe you not done what you've always wanted to do because you're scared you may fall or people may look at you different if you don't succeed? We got to go. We got to do it. We need to face our fears and do the thing that we believe that God's calling us to do. We cannot say no because of fear any longer. You're never going to have enough money in your account to start the business. You're never going to have everybody on your team to start the business. Not everything's going to be perfect to start the business. I remember being told early on, they asked a question in one of our college classes. They said, when do you start a food pantry if you're getting ready to do an outreach ministry within your church? What do you wait for? And there was people raising their hands, says, y'all, you wait till you get your first case of food. And people say, a case of food? You can't do any food ministry with a case of food. You got to wait till you have a pantry of food. Somebody else raised their hand and says, well, my dad has been doing outreach ministry for 25 years. And our goal every year is to raise $150,000 in our annual budget solely to go to food. And I believe you don't start a good food ministry until you have at least $150,000 in the bank. And all these different people are giving their reasons as to why you start this ministry at this point. And he says, all of you are wrong. He says, the best time to start an outreach ministry is today. He says you don't wait to start doing the things of God once you reach a certain place. You start with what you have right now in your pocket, in your bank account. Work with the house you got. Work with the resources you got. And some of you have been sitting back for a long time saying, once I get my kitchen, once I get my chicken, once I get my money, once I meet that person, once I get this and once I get that. And it's been 20 years and you still ain't done nothing. And God is saying, it's time to get off your butt and say the time is today to do what I gotta do. So what does that mean? Does that mean you're gonna open a business knowing you only got about, you know, a half month rent? No, that'd be stupid. That's not what I'm saying. Anybody who goes out and decides to secure a loan and you know you can't pay the bills and you're going to be upside down immediately, don't start it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is start working with what you got. You want to do a chicken business and you're waiting for a building and it's been 12 years and you don't have no building yet? Sell those boxes of chicken out your living room. And save every dollar that you make. Oh, Pastor, I've been waiting to do this ministry. I want to have this big kids camp. And I want to be doing all this ministry. But here you are sitting in Diverse City Sanctuary. Don't never work with no kids. And we got 80 of them next door. Oh, I'm talking to somebody now. See, because we don't understand the way it works. God's not going to give you what you're trying to get to when you're not working with what you already got. If you want him to multiply and allow it to go out and be great, you need to take what he's invested in you and invest it in others, and then God will give you the refund. We've become stingy people who are waiting for the perfect time to give what we got, but that's not biblical. David said our cup is full and running over. That means we're going to keep giving out of our abundance and we never run out because we constantly give. But what we do is our cup is only about halfway full and we're waiting for some more, but no more is coming. And we're saying, well, I can't give none out because I don't have a whole lot in. And God is saying, if you just start giving out, I'd start filling it up. One of the leading causes, again, of an individual, him or her, not accomplishing greatness is fear. They wait for the perfect time because it doesn't look right. Things aren't adding up. And they sit back and they wait. And this is what I call a dreamer. See, a dreamer sits back and dreams all day about what they want to do. But years later, guess what they're still doing? Dreaming. I don't like getting around dreamers. I want to be around visionaries. I want to get around someone who talks about what they want to do, but then they go home at night and they start writing it down. They start making a plan. They start developing a strategy. They start getting steps of how they're going to accomplish the vision. There are so many dreamers in the church, but there's not a whole lot of visionaries in the church. I know people who are 30 and 40 years old talking about mega ministries they want to start and reaching people and saving people and helping people. And then 10 years later, they're still talking about helping people, saving people, rescuing people. Then they're 80 years old talking about saving people, rescuing people, helping people. What is that? Does that mean that God bailed out on his purpose that you had, that he had for your life? No. What it means is that we were not stewards, good stewards of what he gave us. You faithful over the little, and he'll make you ruler over much, right? You want to have that great ministry, serving people, making a difference, connecting with kids? Start connecting with the ones right here. You want to start having this amazing, fabulous business? Start selling boxes at your house. I did that, Pastor. How long? See? Most people get on track and they start for a short while. But you need to be consistent. Caleb, 20 years. Joshua, 20 years. Abraham, about 25 years. Joseph, 22 years. I could go on and on about people and the time it took to get a return on the investment. But our culture says swipe and you get what you want. That's not how God works. God's not like a Visa credit card. You will not have it quick. You will not have it easy. You'll not put it on credit and pay it back later. That's not how God works. We need to go right now with what we've got. I want to just challenge you. I release in you a spirit of power. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that that fearful spirit that has been on you for years and has caused you to wait for the perfect timing is going to die today. And that you are going to be innovative and creative and cutting edge. And you are going to go and you're going to go hard. You're willing to stay up late and wake up early. You're willing to work more and play less. You're willing to do whatever it takes to achieve whatever it is that God has put on your heart. I pray that the dream in you is going to go to a vision from God, and you're going to start writing, developing plans, and achieving the things you've been talking about for years in 19. In Jesus' name. I want you to not only forget your failings, but I want you to forget your feelings. I want you to forget your fears. And I want you to forget your 2018 misfortunes. I want you to forget your misfortunes. See, I think all of us can relate to having misfortunes at some point or another in our lives. Some of them are reoccurring. It's unfortunate that you have so many misfortunate situations in your life. Maybe you're someone that always meets that person that you think's going to be the one, but it was another misfortunate situation. You thought they were right and they weren't right. You thought this was right and that wasn't right. You knew that this was the job. And every time you get your hopes built up, only for it to come crashing back down again. And your life has been full of misfortunate circumstances. See, the reality is during the year 2019, the thing that will ring loudest is not the positive things that have happened in your past or the positive things that are currently happening in your present, but what will ring the loudest is the misfortunes of your past. It's true. The enemy doesn't know the future, only God does. The enemy can only do one thing, and he can speak to you one way, and that is in your past. That's all he can do. The enemy will constantly bombard you with your past and tell you who you're not and how stupid you are and how ugly you are and how you failed before and what the fears are be and what it might be. And you continue to replay and replay and replay. And we naturally replay these misfortunes, and with the help of the enemy speaking about our misfortunes, we forget about this message today. But we cannot live in negativity any longer. We must stop believing that we are destined to have bad luck. I need to say this about 3 more times. Who knows if my mama's watching today, but if you are, hello, mom. And my mom the other day, something that we used to do back in the hood is... you didn't split trees or split poles. Anybody know about splitting trees and poles? Raise your hand if you know about splitting trees and splitting poles. I didn't know my mom had that in her. We're walking just outside on my street, just walking. We're playing, and my mom says, oh, I can't split this pole. Can I, Anthony? She calls me Anthony. And I say, well, if you believe in bad luck, yeah, I guess you can split the pole. She says, well, I believe you split the pole, it's bad luck. I said, I believe Jesus got me and I'm good. I'm lucky. I split every pole in town. I break every mirror. I walk under every ladder. I scratch my left hand, scratch my right hand, scratch my nose, scratch my butt. It don't matter what I scratch, because I know that I'm walking in the blessings and favor of God. Y'all laughing because I talked about scratching my booty like you don't ever scratch yours. Y'all know what that means? I'll tell you later. Scratching your palm, getting money, giving money, getting company. Scratching your butt means you got dingleberries, you got to take a bath. I don't know if I should have said that from the pulpit, but... Hashtag scratching your butt, dingleberries, Pastor Ray, Diverse City Church. Perfect church for imperfect people. With your New Year's Eve filter. Boom! Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Threw it in. I threw that in. That was a promo. Free. Boom. Kevin, give me $5 after service. All right, now all jokes aside, I say that because a lot of us really believe this stuff. Remember last week I talked to you about how we cannot believe, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, that the stars define us? Horoscopes? Well, you can't look at horoscopes to tell you who you are and who you're not. God tells you. Well, let me go a step further. A pole, a ladder, a mirror, a black cat, Halloween, Friday the 13th. These things don't define me. I'm a child of God. I break every mirror in town and still walk in the blessings of the Lord. Do you believe that you're destined for bad luck? And some of you are like, oh, no, I don't. But yes, yes, some of you do. You blow your car tire out and the first thing you say is, oh, just my luck. Right? How many of y'all do that? How many of y'all do that? See, a lot of you know, oh, that's just my luck. Why? Why? Why would you say it's just my luck? Because you believe that you're destined to have bad luck. You lose a job. You only got a couple months. Somebody does you wrong. Oh, I knew this was coming. This always happens to me. Every job I get that I like, I end up losing. You really believe that you were dealt a bad hand of cards and that the dealer is only going to keep giving you bad cards. That's what you really believe. But if you believe that, you don't believe the word of God, because that is not biblical. The enemy comes to do one thing, John 10:10. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you could have life and life more abundantly. I don't know who has been dealing your cards all your life, but can I tell you that we've got a new dealer, and he's not on the corner of Broadway. He's not over here on Grand and Itasca. He's sitting on the throne of heaven. His name is Jesus, and he's willing to deal you the best hand of cards you've ever been dealt, and bless you the best you've ever been blessed, and anoint you the best you've ever been anointed, and use you more than you've ever been used, because God is fabulous. He's wonderful. He's gracious. He's compassionate. He's loving. He's kind. He's tender. He's so wonderful to us. We no longer should anticipate bad cards. We should wake up every morning without looking at our horoscopes, without replaying yesterday, without thinking about what it's going to be. It doesn't matter if you're meeting with the boss, meeting with your principal, meeting with someone about reconciliation, conflict resolution, HR, going for an interview. It doesn't matter how good or how bad it is. You should wake up every day saying, my God is good to me. You walk with your head up tall, your shoulders out, because you know that God is good. I split a pole, but I don't care. I broke a mirror, but it doesn't matter. I walked under a ladder, but it's just because I'm short. But I'm going to keep on walking, because God has told me that I can do anything, and I'm going to have a good day. I know it looks bad, but God's good. I know I got a serious meeting, but God's good. I know I got an interview, but God's good. I know I don't have money, but God's good. I know it's all bad, but God's good. When everything's falling apart, God is still good. Proverbs chapter 23, it says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's time for us to start waking up and taking authority over our life. And saying, Lord, for years I believed that this was just destined to me. I want you to be honest. How many of you honestly will say that you've said things, don't raise your hand yet, let me finish. This whole, just my luck. You've had that just my luck mentality. Things happen, and it's like, go figure. And this has kind of been you. Raise your hand. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be, it's okay. Raise it. Okay? Because, look, all right, now put it down. This is not your luck. Luck is rolling dice. God is sovereign. He has a plan. He's strategic. If it was a bad day and you got a blowout, don't say, it's just my luck. Say, Lord, you're sovereign. What'd you do this for? Is it because you want me to get my tire fixed at Walmart so I can be a blessing? I tell you, just yesterday we were at home and I don't know if you know this, but we got our kid. We had issues with our dog and he liked other dogs so much that he jumped the fence and would try to get them. So we felt that we should get rid of our dog and it killed my family and I very much. And we gave him away to a family out in the country who could better take care of him, was our goal. So for about 3 or 4 months, we've been dogless, and our kids have been asking for a dog. So we got a dog for them on December 22nd. And all that to say, now we have a fifth kid or sixth kid because we have a biological that doesn't live with us or adopted. So anyway, we got 5 kids in the house now, and the youngest is a puppy and our fur baby. And, you know, when you got an 8-week-old puppy, they pee all in your house, and you know, you just got to work it out, right? So, I mean, it's been a week. I just knew that I was on top of this, you know, and I'm doing it good. I catch him at the right times. I know when he pees, when he don't pee, how he pees, what he looks like, you know, so I'm doing good. But last night, he got me with the okie doke. I took him out. 20 minutes later, he's peeing again. You're not supposed to pee that quick. You're supposed to wait an hour. So now I'm like, okay, it's cool. I'm just going to put you outside. It's cool. Put him out. Now I'm going to clean this up. I'm cleaning it up, go into the sink, get my stuff. And I got a leak under my sink. And I said, God, I'm so thankful that that dog peed on my floor. And y'all might laugh, but I'm dead serious. And I told Hadassah, who was under there with me, I said, I am so glad that Hunter peed on the floor. He said, why, Daddy? I said, if he wouldn't have peed on the floor, I said, look, my cabinet is already kind of bubbling up a little bit from the water on this junky wood. You know, it's kind of like they say it's wood, but it ain't really wood. It's a bunch of pressure stuff. But you know what I'm talking about? So it's already bubbling up. And it's, I don't know how long it's been. And I said, I am so grateful that he peed on the floor. Why do I say this to you? Because sometimes things happen because God is using that for something else. I could tell you so many stories that immediately looked like misfortune, but ended up being the sovereign hand of God leading me right in to what I needed next. Can I tell somebody that when something happens in your life, your job is not to say, oh, it's just my luck, but you say, God, I know you're sovereign, and you were good yesterday, and I blessed you. So today it's all falling apart, but I'm still going to bless you. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. Because even when it's bad, God's got a plan to turn it around for my good. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. It can be the worst, the absolute worst, but God is going to turn it around and use it for your good. Sister, you talked about your story, Margaret. You were low. Low. And you thank God for being low, don't you? How many of y'all thank God for those bad cards that he dealt you? It reversed some stuff. It's time for us to start seeing that God is good regardless. And we need to stop claiming misfortunes. We need to stop claiming bad cards. We need to stop expecting bad to happen. And we need to wake up every day and just expect stuff free. I do. People's like, how do you always get stuff free? I mean, for some reason, I always think it's free. I don't know why. I go on in, I talk to somebody. I'm like, man, we're talking a lot. They might give me my meal free. A lot of times they don't. But sometimes they do. And any place I go, it don't matter where I go, I'm looking for a deal and I'm going to get one because that's just my luck, baby. Proverbs 23, as I said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So again, real quick, just reiterating, number one, you need to forget your failings. You need to forget your feelings. You need to forget your fears. You need to forget your misfortunes. And here you go. You need to reach. Now don't be scared. Reaching's a lot shorter than forgetting. I hope everybody say amen. That's because I'm almost done. Reaching's a lot shorter than forgetting. That's the whole point I'm trying to give you. Okay? Not literally the word forgiving or forget or forgiving. Forget is the word I really meant to say. Sorry. Forget. So, but reach. We need to all reach. Philippians chapter 3 and 13, it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I know. What do I know? I know that I need to forget those things that are behind me, but that's just part one. What else do I need to do, Paul? I need to reach towards those things that are ahead of me. See, we cannot live in the past anymore. We must move on. We need to start thinking about today and about our future because we can't change our past. So my question to you with this point of reaching is, are you reaching forward or are you constantly reaching back? He says that we need to forget those things that are behind us and reach forward to those things that are in front of us. You can replay all you want. Well, if I would have seen them one more time, if I could have just said I love you one more time, if I would have done this differently, if I would have done that, what if I would have taken this job instead of this job? What if I would have been home more? What if I would have done this? What if I would have done that? You can play back the what ifs and if I could and should and could have been this way and how would it went if I would have done this? But can I tell you that you cannot change that? You're just going to exhaust yourself as you're trying to reach because you keep replaying what you cannot fix. It happened. It's over. You weren't there enough. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Move on. I mean, I know it hurts. It stinks. But you know what? Do you know why the God is telling you that he wishes you would have been more interested in the one you lost? Not to make you guilty for the rest of your life and walk in condemnation, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The enemy is trying to get you to believe that those thoughts that came was to make you live there. No, the purpose of that is for you to be more intentional in your future, not to sit back in depression about your past. God is trying to teach you from what you did that you can be better while you're reaching. But a lot of you, rather than reaching from the teaching, you get stuck in the lesson. I spoke to somebody right there. The things that God is teaching in the past is meant to make you better when you're reaching in the future. It's not meant to make you stuck in that lesson. It's 2018, about to be 19, and we cannot keep living where we were. We need to reach and move on. And we become better because I learned something back there, but God forbid I get stuck there. That's why Jesus said in Luke 9 and 62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Look, you're not fit for the kingdom of God if you got your hand to the plow, reaching, pushing forward during the work of God, but you constantly want to go back. The only way to sow seed, to cultivate the ground, to plow forward, is to move forward. You can't go back. You just keep moving forward. We need to reach forward. Look, 18 is gone. You can't change it. You can't fix it. You can't get a redo. It's over. It's gone. You will never get 2018 back. It's gone. You hurt people. People hurt you. You lied. You cheated. You did things you wish you wouldn't have done. You didn't take that opportunity. You didn't leap. You were scared. You were fearful. You failed for your failures, your feelings, all of these things, misfortunes. You can't fix none of it. It's gone. Peace. You won't get it back. But what you can do is learn from it. And say, God, I want this year to be different. I want this year to be different. And my last point about reaching is it says that the Apostle Paul said that he reached toward the prize. And this really stuck out to me, and I want you to see this one more time. Look at this scripture with me. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I press toward the goal for the prize. So I'm reached, so in its entirety, let's go back to that very first scripture, please. Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. No, all the way back, 3, 13, and 14, the very first scripture. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I don't think I know it all, but one thing I do, and he gives us a couple pointers. Number one, you need to forget those things that are behind you. You can't control them. You can't fix them. Number two, you need to reach forward to those things that are ahead of you. You need to be more concerned about reaching toward what God has and what you're trying to achieve rather than what's already gone and you can't change. And then look what he says. Last thing. So he tells us, don't look back. You got to reach forward. And then he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is saying is, number one, stop going backwards. Number two, you need to reach forward. But then number three, he says, and when you're reaching, I want you to reach for the prize. And really, I know that this seems so simple, but here's what the Lord said to me. He says, Ray, Paul said that he was reaching toward the prize. He was positive. He expected greatness. He had great optimism about his future. He believed that it was going to be a great future. He was reaching towards the prize. Some of y'all are reaching towards, I don't know what. The word that came to mind was poop. I'm poopy. I don't know why. But some of y'all are reaching forward and you just know this is going to be a stinky year. I'm reaching toward. And look, no, you don't reach with your eyes closed and you say, I know it's going to be bad, but what are you going to give me? We need to change our concept, our perceptive, our mindset. And we need to say, God, your word says that you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I just believe that if I seek you, that you're going to give me and you're going to bless me. And you're not going to give me stones. You're not going to give me bad stuff. You're going to bless me. So, God, I'm making a decision today in 2018 on this last Sunday of the year that I'm no longer going to look back. I'm not going to focus on my feelings, my failures, my hurt, my misfortune, all the things I've been through. But I'm going to start moving forward, God. I'm going to start reaching. But you know what, God? I got to be honest with you. Last year, I reached, but I reached believing I would never obtain. But this year, I'm reaching for the prize. Y'all understand the difference? See, because a lot of people's reaching, but what they're reaching for is a pile of poop. They don't believe they'll ever get a whole lot. They don't ever believe anything will come to them. And they just think that this is it. But when you change your perspective and you say, God, I'm reaching for the prize. I believe that you're a rewarder. I believe great things are going to come to me. And I'm going to pursue you with all of my heart. In the last scripture, Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says that for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. My thoughts are of peace and not of evil. And I want to give you a future. I want to give you a hope. Can you know today that God wants to give you a future? He wants to give you a hope. So what that means is tomorrow night at 12 o'clock, we're going to start reaching. Because it's 2019. But you don't need to reach with your eyes closed, just hoping that something halfway good comes to me.
You can reach like this because you know your dad's good and he wants to bless you. You can reach with all of you got, knowing that God's going to come through in your life and for you. So I just want to say in closing, family, this is our last Sunday to do an altar call. And I want to do that this last Sunday of 2018. If you just say, Pastor, I want to forget about my failings. I want to forget about my feelings. I want to forget about my misfortunes. Pastor, I want to forget about some stuff, my fear. And I want to start reaching forward for something new. I just want to believe like I've never believed before. And I just want 19 to be amazing. Can you just come up here? We're going to pray together. We're going to lock hands at this altar. And we're just going to pray for 2019 to be better, to be different than 2018. All over this sanctuary. Come up here to this altar. And we're going to pray together and believe God for 2019. Come on, everybody, to this altar. Man and woman, if you believe God for something great, grab hands. Don't care about who's beside you. And we're just going to hold hands and believe God for something amazing all over this building. Everybody fine, and let's just pray together. Let's believe God for greatness. I'm going to wait a minute. I see some people still coming. Your failures do not control your year. Your feelings do not control your year. Your misfortunes, they don't speak of how good God is to you or is not. Your fear or not, it's not going to rule you. Fear's not going to rule us. Fear is not going to rule me. All right, here we go. Fear, you will not rule me. Say that. So let's say that together. We need to say that again. Fear, you will not rule me. One more time. Say, fear, you will not rule me. Feelings, you will not rule me. Feelings, you will not rule me. Somebody needs to get that in their spirit. Say, feelings, you will not rule me. Now I want you to speak to your failures and say, failures, you do not determine my destiny. Say, failures, you do not determine my destiny. God, I pray that my family will know that feelings do not rule them. Fears do not rule them. And failures do not determine where they go in life. Now, I want you to say with me, say, I am not always dealt bad cards. My life is not full of misfortunes. Somebody needs to say that again. You need to say, my life is not full of misfortunes. Say, God, I am so sorry for thinking bad stuff is normal for me. I am open, God, to your blessings in my life. You are in control of my life.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope this message blessed you.